Good evening and welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for the City of Bettendorf for March 21st, 2012. I'm Roy Wendland. The Plan and Zone Commission is a seven-member commission appointed by the mayor and commissioned by the council. We are a recommending body to the City Council, and all our actions are subject to their approval. We regularly meet on the third Wednesday of the month at 5:30 here in the City Hall. We regularly look at rezoning requests, preliminary and final plats, site development, landscape plans, planned unit developments. We are interested in your input, and looks like we've got a big crowd tonight. So at the appropriate time, if you have comments, I will direct you to the podium on my right and your left and ask you to state your name and address and give us your input. So with that, we'll do the roll call.
Bennett?
Here.
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Mr. Gregg. Oh, sorry. Minutes. Have we all had a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes of February 15th.
All those in favor?
I second it.
And sorry.
Hi. In favor?
We'll catch up. We'll catch up. Yeah. All right. All those in favor say aye. Aye. The minutes are approved.
Would you let the record reflect that Ann has now arrived?
Can we note that Ann has now arrived? Thanks,
Ann.
Thank you. Getting in.
Didn't realize that was so noteworthy.
Yeah. All right. Then we have election of officers this evening. Do we have any nominations from the floor?
I'd be happy to make a nomination.
What would that be?
Roy, I would like to nominate you as chair of Zone Commission.
I'll second.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment that I have sat to the right of you since you've been a commissioner, and you've been extremely helpful, I mean, to me, because this is what you do every day, and I think you'd make an excellent chair, and I think you would do a great job. So.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Pat.
Any other nominations? We have a motion.
We have a motion. We have a second, and we just need approval.
Call for the vote.
Let's call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I guess I get to be the man this year. Okay, great. All right, we'll pull together now. So, all right. Review of the commission procedures. I did that. Mr. Gregg, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, the first item on the agenda is a rezoning from C2 to C3 at the Old Eagles building location. This is Devil's Glen Road right here. This is middle. There's an entry here. There's one here and here as well for this location. This is the plat. The area outlined in purple here, shown in purple, is the actual area being requested as a rezoning from C2 to C3 zoning. The intent here is that the petitioner would want to place a data center on this particular site, but the entire site will not be taken up with that particular data center. The building being about in this area, what we have asked then, and that the petitioners agreed to acquiesce to, is a conditional zoning that this locale be used only for that particular use that he is bringing forward. This is the land use plan right here, a map, I should say. It shows the area clearly as commercial, and most of the area surrounding here as well being of a commercial nature. This is office transitional here. The zoning, pretty much C2 here, but you do have C3 interspersed in the area as well. C2, this is A over here for where the church is. Of course, we already looked at this once, the transmission tower at this locale. And this is the outline right here showing some of the, showing the building and the way that the data center might be laid out here with inside that building. We do have a structure not far from City Hall here, the AT&T building, I believe it is, or the Quest site. That site is zone C2. We are, in this case, looking at this and evaluating it. We wanted this site to be zone C3, given the nature of this not being exactly like maybe what the one of the telephone utilities had. We wanted to make sure that this would actually fit into a certain type of use, it being C3 at this location. Staff, in looking at evaluating this particular proposal, supports it. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Go ahead, John.
Data center, that's storage for servers, or what kind of?
I believe it would be. I think the petitioner is here tonight, and they could probably address it better than I might.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. My name is Scott Rubens. I am President and CEO of General Center Communications. And about 5 months ago, we looked at locating a data center somewhere in the Quad City area. Data centers simply need three things. They need fiber optic cables, good electricity, and a good concrete building. At the time we started looking, this building was not available. It is an ideal building for a data center because it is concrete. And it is a flat one-story building. You probably caught a little bit of press. We did at one point decide to go to Davenport. That building fell through, and we are pleased that this building was able to come back on the market, and we have taken the opportunity to negotiate an agreement with Hy-Vee, a rather painstaking negotiation with them because of all the covenants that they require. But we have reached an agreement with them. In answer to your direct question, this building will house servers. They won't be now our servers, there will be our customer servers. We will provide the floor space, the electricity, and the security necessary to house it, but we will have other companies come in, and they will provide their own servers and their own maintenance routine. So it is, for lack of better terms, a server farm. But it will be fed with high-tech fiber optic cables and sufficient electrical powers so that it will not fail.
Thank you.
And you have another question?
Yes, I had a question. Greg, on the illustration that you have up on the screen right now, there's an area outlined in red that says possible outlot. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Or maybe you can both address that. Well, Bill. We'd love to hear from you.
Obviously, in Geneseo Communications, looking at this property, for a data center, they have far excess parking that they need. So they were thinking in the future, would it be possible to subdivide the property and create an outlot for perhaps a little strip center or something? And that's when our discussion about the conditional zoning, that if any or all of the property was not used as a data center in the future, it was automatically revert back to the C2 zoning. As well, you all know that C3 zoning, a lot of the uses are rather intense, and they probably wouldn't fit into this community shopping district area. So developer has agreed to that restriction, and they may, in some time in the future, consider subdividing the lot.
So the conditional zoning applies to the whole parcel?
It does.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is the landscaping requirements different from a C3 from a C2?
No, it isn't. Not for the surrounding area. And this will be all contained in the building.
There really is no landscaping there right now, is there?
Whatever is on site is available. Basically, that's what you have. I think there's some over here.
Mm-hmm. It's just such a prominent corner in Bettendorf that, you know, are they going to do much remodeling to the outside of the building, or?
I think that's going to be discussed on the last item. When that comes up, urban renewal.
If I may intervene, no, there will be no changes to the exterior portion of the building. We, with the exception of just closing one of the doors, there's two entryways.
Uh-huh.
There will be no structural changes, no additional square footage, nothing added to the outside of the building. All the improvements will be on the inside of the building.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Any comments or questions from anyone in the audience regarding this case? Nope, seeing none. Anybody have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12-015, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
I have a second. Any discussion on the motion? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to try to toggle through this here as fast as I can. There's a graphic on here, this one here, that takes up a great deal of RAM, and it slows down the presentation, so I'm going to try to toggle to the last one of these and get through these two. As mentioned earlier, I think we noted that this area here, just for the audience sake, that this land use change request and this rezoning request has been withdrawn for tonight's meeting, that the areas under consideration are north of Tanglefoot Lane and south of Tanglewood Road, but that these other, the first two are not part of this presentation. So what I'll do is I'll go back to this here. Essentially the petitioner for items number 12-21 and 12-22, asking initially for A1 to R1 zoning here, where the land use is traditional residential, and then A1 to R3 zoning here, where the land use is medium density residential. The site is located north of Tanglefoot Lane, and then it's also located south of Tanglewood Road. We have Devil's Glen Road and then Metal Road off to the west and east of the site. The land use for that area here, you've roughly designated this area here on the land use plan in 2002 as medium density residential, and the remaining portion here is all traditional residential. And this is the zoning as it stands now. This area here would be the area requested for R1. The remainder over here would be requested for R3. And as you see, much of the area surrounding is in agricultural status. We do have A2 over here for rural residence district areas where you do have some residential. And then down here, you have multifamily residence district with a special use permit grandfathered in that location there in Town Point Crown Homes. The area being requested tonight is about 17.16 acres in size, and this is the concept plan for both R3 portion and then this portion. It'll be a roadway that will come through here, connect further to the south, connecting both Tanglewood and Tanglefoot, and then it'll call the sac here. And then, in looking at the R3 portion, we have this area right here. We have an entry and a cul-de-sac at this point, and then there are two lots, one flagged to come back here, this one having access here. This area down here is an outlot. It's very rugged. The depression area here is rather deep. And then we have an outlot for stormwater storage anticipated at that location. Staff, in looking at both of these rezoning requests, recommends approval for both of them. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
I have a very basic question. One parcel is R3, one is R1. So are we putting duplex villas? What's going to be different on the smaller parcel that it's zoned differently?
It's just that the land use is what it is. We did this with the Windmiller site as well up here on Devil's Glen Road and Forest Grove Drive. That area was medium-density residential, so to facilitate an easy rezoning without going through a land use change, that zoning was the one that would be the most least onerous for selecting for this site.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Thank you.
But to follow up on Ann's question, the intent is single family on all these lots then?
I believe it is, yes.
Greg, I also have a question about access to Tanglefoot from the flag lot and then the other lot that directly abut. Because of the way that's laid out, can that be a shared access so that there don't have to be two separate?
I think that's what's anticipated from what I see here. I think there's already a means of access. You just barely see it. There might be already one there already, but we would want that to be the case. The fewer amount of access points that come off into Tanglefoot Lane,
right,
the better. And we want to try to curb that as much as possible, and all these entry points. We want to keep them in the interior like you see right here and have as many interior mm-hmm. streets as possible.
So we'll end up with two curb cuts on the north end, one for the main street and one for that lot to the east, correct? Up on the north end of the
that's
larger
what we see,
parcel.
Yeah.
Any other questions from commission? Any comments from the audience? Yes, sir.
My name is Ed Guzis, and I live at 4200 Tanglewood Road, which is just to the north side of the proposed rezoning. I don't have any problems with the rezoning itself, but I do have a concern. When the park, the baseball diamonds were originally put in, before they were put in, I had a conversation with Steve Grimes. I was worried about the traffic and the safety hazards there. And he assured me, before the park was put in, that they would improve the road before they put any parking lots there. Of course, that never happened, and going back with him now, he doesn't have the same recollection. But in the summertime, there has been problems there with the ball fields. Cars parked on both sides of the road, and the road is very steep. It's a very sharp embankment, and kids running in and out, and it's a concern. And now we're adding two more exits onto Tanglefoot, or Tanglewood, also with the addition of the YMCA there, sometimes it's rather difficult getting out on Devil's Glen Road. Not always, but sometimes. And, you know, one solution is a stoplight, but I know stoplight is not the answer for there because the proximity to the other stoplights. So I'm just raising a concern that traffic is a consideration, I think, on Tanglewood, and I would like maybe look at some other avenues if possible. For instance, the one that's going to be zoned R3, which is can be two-family dwellings or one-family dwelling, if that could possibly be made on Tanglewood. You've got one exit plan there now. If that could be rearranged so that would be planned on Tanglewood, excuse me, Tanglefoot, there would be less traffic on Tanglewood. That's my primary concern.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Staff, do we have any comments in regard to the safety?
We have heard from time to time that sometimes there's speeding along that section of Tanglewood Road. That's an enforcement issue. I think probably a lot more traffic heads to the west towards Devil's Glen Road than it does on down to the intersection of Tanglefoot. So sometimes with, not with a rezoning, but with a platting, a preliminary platting, we do ask the developer to partake in a traffic study so we can kind of look and see what the traffic counts would be. This is a relatively small subdivision, relatively few lots, so I would guess that the number of trips per day is going to be relatively small compared to something like the Y and Crow Creek Park.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from the audience in regard? Yes, sir.
My name is Chad Miller. I live at 4340 Tanglewood Road, kind of underneath the P up there in property. I gave you my written comments, but I'd just like to add, echo his comments, that I'd like to, I know you guys are just recommending body, but could you ask the city too to please move up the two items that are in their CIP budget, items 124 and 125, the Tanglewood seal coat replacement for Tanglewood. Tanglewood serves as the city's flagship and largest park, Crow Creek. There are seven businesses along on Tanglewood, the YMCA, Genesis Medical Center, Lawns Unlimited, Cypress Commercial, Fabric Impressions. There's already 22 homes, there's already four open lots, three commercial lots, and there's other acres of fields that are yet to be developed. It's $7.2 million of assessed value. Hopefully that helps bubble up this on the priority list. I would think this addition of 28 residential lots would be enough to push this up on the priority list, and I think it might be easier to put in this road now before the subdivision is built out, because it's going to require partial road closures. We're basically going to double the number of homes in that street, and then when we do it later, we're going to inconvenience more people. And I'm also not sure that old road's going to stand up all the construction traffic. We all know Portland concrete roads with drainable base and curb are less expensive to maintain in the long run. They don't require all the oil and chip coatings. They're quicker to plow when it snows. Putting this road to the sidewalk or trail would also serve as a walkway into and out of Crow Creek Park and the YMCA to get all the pedestrians that walk and run on that road. You can't believe the number of people that walk and run on that road right now, and there's no shoulder for them. So I'm in support of the 28 homes. I just think we need to move up replacing Tanglefoot if at all possible. Then the other thing I'd like you to consider too is between this drainage way, I happen to know the park board is looking for a way out of Crow Creek Park for a recreation trail. That leftmost yellow line up there would be a prime spot to be tree lined. It's a drainage way, come right out of the park and go through there to match up with the trail on the north side of Tanglefoot. And I don't know if that's a discussion you have with the developer, if how you broach that topic with the park board, but I think the park board, I tried to email them last night when I noticed it was on the agenda. You may want to think about making way for the city to own that drainage space so they can control it, and maybe put in a rec trail there to get out of Crow Creek Park. That's all.
Thank you. Chad. Yes, sir.
My name's Bob Walter. I'm involved with KW Development. We're the developers of this project. I live in Bettendorf at 4785 Black Hawk Trail. And speaking of the traffic flow, we see 95% of that traffic coming down to Tanglefoot rather than going out onto the seal-coated Tanglewood. For coming down to Tanglefoot, you can go either way. For the traffic, they can get a light either way. If you're going across on Tanglewood, you don't have that ability to get to a light and turn left. It's more of a traffic issue. But where our R3 is, because of the topography of that land, we do need to have an access to Tanglewood in that spot there. But for the most part, almost all your traffic is going to be heading south out onto Tanglefoot. So if that helps anybody a little bit, that's should be the traffic flow for our customers. So
Bob, from your perspective, it's not practical to have the entrance come up from the south on your western development, the R3.
The topography, it just drops into a ditch, and it does not develop out that way. The other mentioned there that what we would be doing in the construction phase of this is request all our heavy equipment and cement trucks and that stuff to travel on Tanglefoot. That only makes sense because they would be, they're heavy vehicles. And we've done this in other subdivisions we've been in. We've requested them to come in off Devil's Glen because there's other houses there with family and kids, and we keep our traffic away from that. So we are aware of the situation with that road, and we would avoid using it other than when we do need to get into that cul-de-sac. We would have to come that way.
Okay, thank you. Any more feedback? Yes, sir.
I'm Lynn Geick. I live at 4275 Tanglewood Road. I have the 2 acres right where that outlet pond's going to be. I understand my neighbor's concerns about the traffic on that road. It's a very narrow road. There's a lot of bikers on it, walkers on it. So I'm concerned that people being at risk of being on that road. It's a very poor quality road at times. Also concerned about the topography in my backyard. There's a big ravine, and all that farm water goes into my backyard, and every rain I get about 6 to 12 inches of standing water in my backyard. I've talked several times about that. I never heard a response from the city. And I'm even more concerned now with the homes and concrete there, where all that water is going to go, because I don't want any more in my backyard. I've lost several trees and plants because of that. Also, I'm wondering, there's a huge drop-off ravine in my backyard, so I'm wondering what my backyard is. Is it going to be a 20-foot wall I'm going to be looking at, or is it going to be nature, or is it going to be developed? So I'm a little bit worried about what's at the end of my yard, my 2 acres, what will I be looking at, because right now it's all trees, and there's a good 20-foot drop from one end of where that cul-de-sac is to my backyard. I'm just wondering what's going to be put there. So there are my concerns about what's going to happen to my property value and what I'll be looking out my back window. Thank you.
Frank, could you note for me where his property is on the aerial there?
I believe it's this, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I do know, Lynn, that the provision is that the stormwater detention will be required for the site. Natural depression will be maintained as stormwater detention in the area southeast corner of the proposed R3. And in the R2, I believe, or R1 as well. Yeah. Any other questions or comments from the audience? Yes.
Were there any questions how they're going to do the grade from the one level to my backyard, since there's such a huge drop off? Is that going to be addressed, or?
I don't know if Bob can address that now while he's here or not.
You're speaking of the what's going to happen to the trees next to that cul-de-sac.
Is that difference in that, about 20-foot drop from where one part of the land is to where the bottom of my yard is?
We would have to core out some of that, those trees there, to get a level building plane on the front half of those lots. So then in the back, it would be a drop-off, walk-out basement, and drop-off back down to that. We would not be adding to any issue that you have in a drainage issue. Your drainage issue may be farther down the road. I don't know. I haven't seen it when it's rained. But our water is going to be going to the detention area and then released at a certain rate. But we will not be changing the property line next to your property line.
Anyone else in the audience tonight? No? Any other questions or comments from the commission?
If you could talk a little bit about the trail out of Crow Creek. Seems to be a pretty hot topic lately about where bike paths and trails are. So has that been discussed at all?
There is currently, we have a consultant that's doing a comprehensive transportation plan as a part of that, and I think you're aware of that. As a big part of that, we have asked them to do a trails plan for us, comprehensive trails plan. The trails have usually been led by discussions with the park board as opposed to community development staff people. So a little early for me to make any comment on it personally. If Mr. Jagger would like to comment on anything.
As it relates to the Crow Creek Trail, the Park Board does have a plan to extend the recreation trail from Fieldsite Park down to Middle Road along Crow Creek. The proposed trail goes through a portion of Mr. Miller's backyard, and he is not happy about that.
Just to clarify that comment, you're right. I've asked, rather than be going through my backyard that goes through my front yard, or that we find an alternate path that where there are no homes that are already built. So I'm trying to work with the city to put it in a place where it works for the neighborhood.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? No. Do we have a motion?
Yes. You want to take these one at a time?
I think we should take them one at a time.
Okay, so I'll begin with case number 12-022, rezoning from A1 to R3, and I would move approval of the motion subject to the staff recommendations.
Second.
We have a second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend that we approve case 12023, which is the rezoning from A1 to R1, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, our next case is 12-019, and it is a plat of for the coins. It's the coin final plat, and essentially what we have is a group of parcels here, mainly one and then a second parcel that have not been platted before. What the petitioner wishes to do is take this parcel here and subdivide it into two pieces and then recognize this one here beyond meets and bounds descriptions. And this house right now is pre-existing 1954, is built to the standards at the time. That house was built before we had a zoning ordinance, so there isn't much we can do in the way to make it conforming in this area here. But everything else conforms in terms of the way this lot was subdivided for the setbacks for the front and the two side yards here. This is a view right down near where the turnaround is, Kimberly Ridge Road. The turnaround area, the cul-de-sac, is right here. Property boundary line, you have the first lot here where the house is, you have this is the second lot, and then there is a third lot back here where there's another house that was built, I believe, in 1948, at which the coins reside. And this again shows the way the lots will be divided. You'll have the first lot here, second one here, and then this large area here being the third lot. This will be the one that doesn't have any residents on it. This electrical easement will be vacated if electrical utility approves, and I believe there's nothing in there at the time. And then we have this access easement right here that will permit access from Kimberly Ridge Road up here to the adjoining property here and then to lot number one. Staff, in reviewing this proposal and considering other things too, like stormwater, we looked at all of this, and for the most part there were very few conditions that were necessary to attach to this report, so we recommended approval of this final plat. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? I guess just procedurally, if we approve this, we're consenting or approving to a, essentially a non-conforming setback, but it's already existing.
It's already there, and at the time it was conforming in 1954 because essentially the zoning ordinance is adopted for the city in 1959. The zoning ordinance acknowledges lots of record that might be built on prior to July of 1957. And in this case, there isn't much we can do because this boundary is established and set with the adjoining property owners. So essentially, you know, you have what you have there. He is not making it worse, though. That's the whole thing.
Right.
And because he's not doing that, we consider this not to be a problem to subdivide into this lot right here.
And if that house were to be destroyed sometime in the future, would they then have to abide by new setbacks, or would it be?
That might be up for the Board of Adjustment to make that determination. If they were to build in a different configuration and move the structure up to this area here, they have a substantial 90 feet and 82 feet of setback already. they were to move it up here, then they could acknowledge this 40-foot setback area back here.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the commission? Anyone in the audience in regard to this case? Yep, we have one.
I'm just here representing George and Nancy Point.
Okay.
And I actually will be residing in that lot number 3.
Okay, no other comments? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the case 12-019. And be approved but subject to the staff recommendation.
A second.
We have a second. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
The next case up is case 12-024, which is Windham Hill 6th edition. Access can be taken basically coming off of Middle Road and coming up this direction to the subdivision. Essentially what we're looking to do is having this placed in at the time the subdivision is being built, Windham Drive. We want to make sure that gets put in place, and then with the barricades and then any other conditions that were required as part of the agreement of Windham Hills first edition. The area outlined here is essentially the sixth edition. There's only this small portion down here then that remains to be put in, and this is Eastbourne Avenue. Eventually we're looking at that connecting there. This is the overall preliminary plat showing most of the layouts of what was intended for Windham Hills. This is Windham Hills 6th, and then I have a magnified one that's to scale here. Showing the East Kingston Circle again, which basically is the easiest route to get here from Middle Road, and then Windham Drive. Windham Drive already at this portion all the way up to Crow Creek Road was part of the first edition of Windham Hills. So essentially we're looking at having that this section placed in at the same time that North Richmond Circle and South Richmond Circle are being undertaken so that Windham Drive can be extended upwardly to Crow Creek Road. Staff in reviewing this proposal supports the petitioner's request for the platting. I would ask you any questions.
Will you show the access from Crow Creek Road? Can you show a bigger plat?
Essentially, they didn't show that here, but what I can show is this.
There you go.
This is where it would connect up here.
Okay. Thank you.
Greg, I noted a reference in the back that you have staff recommendations, agreement on outlot care must acknowledge the responsibility of corresponding lot owners to properly care for the outlots. Having personally been involved in a subdivision where I live where the outlot or the agreement has expired, does this protect them for the long term and maintenance of the outlots just by the plat notes?
I think this outlot A is what it could be referring to. Outlot A is going to probably have more of a overall attachment to the entire subdivision depending on what gets placed on that location, and it's something that will have to be probably in the agreement for this subdivision, and then acknowledgement maybe I think it was maybe covered in the last plats that were done, but this is more of, I think, it's going to be used as a group recreation type area here, and I think it has been covered in the verbiage used. But I do understand what you're saying is that we want to make sure that this will be maintained and running as beyond what the covenant
period
is.
Yeah, the life of the covenant is 21 years, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's not a detention area. It's
no, this is,
recreational.
I think potentially for recreational structure or just open recreation.
Any other questions from the commission?
I think we are going to have a developer tell us what Outlot A's intentions are.
Okay.
I'm Dennis Williams with AMF. The Outlot A is intended for a green space for the neighborhood. And the reason we didn't want to plat it, because we don't know if he's going to put a putting green, a little park area. So we just wanted to leave it open until we got more neighbors in there so we could decide what to do with it.
Okay.
But it'll be covered through the HOA associations with the detention areas, mowing of the berms. It's all covered under their HOA.
And that's exactly where I was going, because personally I've been experiencing a situation where our HOA expired and was not renewed. And now we're in a situation where we've got outlot obligations and the underlying HOA doesn't have its creation anymore. So one of the ways we're making sure that there's a way to obligate the homeowners long-term through the plats as opposed to just the HOA.
Correct. That outlot will be dedicated to the HOA documents. So that will be in the HOA docs. Just like if you go to the overview back of the preliminary plat. Might get out to get over here to point it out.
This outlot here, there's a sidewalk that's all in the HOA docs. And then it's the street, and then it's mowing the berm up here in the HOA docs. And there's another outlot here that's all in the first, second, third, fourth division.
The question that was asked was whether the city is comfortable with an HOA generally, because if the HOA documents are not renewed at the 21 years,
right,
you can have a problem. It's unusual. The problem that the commissioner is suffering from is rather unusual in the city. It has not happened elsewhere, but it is conceivably possible that it could happen elsewhere. Really, the HOA has to be alert, and as the 21 years approaches, they have to go down to the courthouse and renew the covenants in order for them to continue on. There is a Court of Appeals decision that does talk about plat notes and the longevity of plat notes. It's one that the city of Bettendorf was subject to in some litigation. I'm not sure that saying on the plat documents that the HOA is to handle, HOA obligations are to be as detailed in HOA documents would by itself overcome that 21 years, because this isn't something where the city is involved so much as it is the private property owners. Now, if the commission is really concerned with this, the commission might want to add to the conditions that the HOA documents give the city the right to renew them, so that city staff might be able to put it on a tickler system, and somebody further down the road than myself would be able to remember that these documents are coming due and at least alert the HOA to it. It's something that conceivably the city could do. It's not anything that the city has done in the past.
Or I don't know if they want to do, but just want to make sure there's a way now as we look at these developments that there's a way to make sure things get maintained in the event the HOA, for some unforeseen reason, doesn't maintain its longevity, doesn't get renewed. I guess I'll just defer that to staff for consideration. Okay, any other questions or comments on this plat, commission or audience? No? Yes? Okay. Well, I guess I would entertain a motion then.
I'll be happy to make a motion, Mr. Chairman. I move that case 12-024 be approved subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
This next case, Your Honor, is somewhat of a carryover from December of last year, I believe 11-076. Involves an addition being placed here at Lindquist Ford, and this little brown rectangle indicates the addition area. And we have Middle Road here, we have Belmont Road here, means of access here to this particular locale. The structure is going to be used for determining damages to vehicles, sort of a one would look at it as an insurance adjustment appraisal, as it were. And this is the entry coming in to the locale, the building structure to be placed in the side of the building right here. This is the way the structure sort of be outlined, and there would be additional windows over in this side of the building on the north side. Entry would be here, and then you have your two bays right there. This area here will be removed for paving. Essentially, you already do have a means of access to the adjoining lot and then to Lindquist right here. This is a drainage easement here, and there's one here. Drainage at this time was being handled off-site at another location. Essentially, you go back to this, stormwater is being directed right now into this detention basin, and this is overly large. It collects here for Town Point Homes Edition, and essentially this is so large here, also collecting the church, that essentially this is something that can be done, the stormwater diverted to that detention basin. This is showing again the access coming in and the proposed structure. And this is the overall site plan showing the existing building and then the attached structure right here. This is showing the existing condition essentially, where you do have existing paving, the existing building here, and then there's green space out front. And this blue here is the outline of the building where it would be placed. This is the new addition showing the entry here and showing paving islands, the two bays right here, entry. And this is the way that the structure will look, looking from the behind view. This is from head on from the east, showing the entry and then the two bays here. And this is from the north side. Staff, in looking at this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Comments from the commission? Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 11076, subject to staff recommendations.
Second?
Second it.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded that we approve case 11076. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, our next two cases are 12025 and 12026. Essentially, what we're doing here is we're trying to incorporate an area where we can define where a pawn shop or pawn broker may locate within our zoning districts. And staff, upon reviewing like businesses, we thought that C2 and C3 business districts, basically community shopping district, which is C2, and C3 general business district, both requiring special use permits for such businesses because they do require a license. A pawnbroker does that type of business. Staff felt that those two areas for zoning were essentially the best locations for such business. And what we'll see is an updating in the special use permits in C2, as noted here, below bakery, wholesale, retail mix, we'll insert pawn shop or pawn broker. And then below motorcycle sales in C3 under special uses, pawn shop or pawn broker. The definition we are using is already established in the business licensing definitions under pawn broker, and that's what we'll be referring to essentially when we look at the type of definition. It's already within our city code under section 16-76, and it's listed in the report as to the most exact location of that provision. Staff, in looking at this, recommends approval of this ordinance change. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any comments from the commission?
It's a
straightforward.
Good proactive amendment.
Yep. Any comments from the audience? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12-025, subject to staff recommendations on that.
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and second that we approve case 12025. And is that together? We take an 025 and 26 together?
I would do one.
One at a time, so that's just 25. Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, Mr. Chairman, I move the case.
I didn't, let me finish that one. I didn't finish the vote on that one. We're good.
Sorry.
We're almost there.
Okay.
I want to do it too.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Now we go.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that case 12026 be approved subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that? All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. It passes. Okay. We have our shot to get on Pawn Stars now, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Zoning ordinance.
Mr. Van Dyke will take care of this presentation here, and I'll just...
That'll be fine. Just that.
Steve,
that,
okay.
That's perfect. Thank you. It's again Steve Van Dyke, Economic Development Director. Don't get here very often. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. You've heard earlier from Greg and from Geneseo Communications. They're in hoping to place a data center at the former Eagles Country Market on Devil's Glen in Middle. Owner is seeking funds from both the state and local. The council took its first action last night in that they approved us filing an application to the Iowa Economic Development Authority for state funds. As with any application, local match is always required. Thus, we are beginning the process for the local portion this evening with you. Again, basically, he wants to put a data center there. Considerable expense will be undertaken. $15 to $20 million will be expended, primarily on the inside, as he has indicated. In order for us to provide tax increment financing rebates, the law does require that the urban renewal area be and the plan that accompanies it be amended. So that's the action we are asking you to recommend for the council in subsequent meetings, amending the urban renewal plan. Currently, the assessed value is just under $3 million. Just as we have done with the case at Duck Creek Plaza and across the street at the shops at Duck Creek, we want to hold that as the minimum. So that way, all the tax dollars that are currently occurring for the city, the schools, and the county will not be diminished. That's always an important issue for us. We believe that the assessed value will be somewhere in the above $4 million, perhaps even $4.5 to $5 million. The developer is agreeing to a $3.7 million minimum assessment agreement. We are taking this action because we believe it's a special type of business. We have a fiber optic ring, a synchronous optical network, if you will, that is within our community. It touches every potential location where business can be. So we believe that there are additional benefits, and thus staff is encouraging the community to take the necessary steps to allow these tax rebates to occur. It's wonderful that we're getting one business, the data center, But what we believe is that it, in addition to getting that data center, other additional businesses may follow it. They don't have to be next door at all. They can be anywhere on the network. And so, again, as you perhaps know, I-80 and Middle Road is a sweet spot for us. It's where we would like to attract financial, insurance, and real estate type companies. And we believe having the synchronous optical network along with this data center provides us with some wonderful amenities to use to market this community. So we are asking that you approve the plan amendment to the urban renewal area urban renewal area number 2012. I'd be glad to answer any and all questions.
Any questions from staff?
I'll ask one. I'm not maybe know just enough to be dangerous, but what kind of, I guess the term is bandwidth, or what kind of usage on our network will this data center entail as in relationship to the total possible usage?
You and I are on the same level, so I understood the question. I hope I'll be able to answer it. He will not be using our fiber. He is asking for the use of our conduit in which to install his own fiber. So our fiber will not be affected in any way. He has a fiber conduit from Chicago to Denver. He wants to connect that facility to that fiber, and he can do so by using our conduit. So he is asking for the ability to install his fiber in our conduit at his cost. We are asking him to, I'll use the word donate, to the city some additional fiber. We don't necessarily have a use for it at this time, but we believe that the conduit that was put in there, you know, over a 10-year span, some 15 years ago, has served us quite well. Who knows what the future will bring? So we feel that getting this additional 12 number of fiber will enhance the ability for us to do other things of which we are not yet aware of. So he will not affect our fiber in any way.
Great. Glad I asked that question.
Anyone else? Anyone in the audience? Additional comments? I would entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 12-017, the 2012 Urban Renewal Plan, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. Any additional discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would just comment that it's very refreshing to see such a vigorous agenda, some really big projects that the city's been working on, and it's very encouraging to see. I'm happy to see this coming before us tonight.
I would echo that. And Scott, in particular, thank you for your interest in Bettendorf. We appreciate that. So with that, I'd say all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. I think we're there. Do you have an update, Bill?
I do, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to congratulate the newly elected chairman on what was
Thanks.
My,
we had a little
what
rough
was my
start
opinion,
tonight, but we're there.
A flawlessly
Thanks.
Run meeting. Subsequent to the last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, City Council followed your recommendations by approving the first reading of the CVS rezoning at the northwest corner of 18th Street and Spruce Hills Drive, the final plat of the old Bettendorf High School second edition, and the site development plan for additional grain storage for River Gulf Grain. Another question I do have for the Commission is, from time to time we get request by the public to provide them with your email addresses. Currently, we correspond through your personal email addresses, and we will not release that to the public. most of the city employees, the city council, I think the park board, has city email addresses that are assigned to them. And I am asking you if you would be interested in having official city email addresses assigned to each one of you.
You don't have to make a decision on that tonight. No. You can simply advise staff over the next couple of days.
From a personal standpoint, I think that's the way the world communicates, and I'm happy to participate in that through the normal channels. So.
Okay, if you can think about it, maybe we can get an answer at the next meeting then. And
okay.
If the answer is yes, we can have our IS department assign email addresses.
Okay.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Anything else by the commission? If not, we're adjourned.